Matthew chapter 11, and we will read verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Over the years, whenever I have mentioned this portion of Scripture, I have most generally focused on the fact that the Lord said His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And over the years, if I've mentioned this, it's been on the thought that serving the Lord is much better than serving self and sin and Satan. The Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard. And the Lord says His yoke is easy and His burden is light. But what I want to point out here this morning is this. There is a yoke and there is a burden. Okay? I don't believe I've ever stressed this before in the past. The Lord has a yoke and He has a burden. But He says it's easy and He says it's light. And I guess if you compare the Lord's yoke, and you understand, I'm sure that most of you understand the imagery of a yoke. Way before John Deere was around, they would take that looked like a big wooden M, and they would drape it over the necks of two strong animals, and then they would clamp it from underneath, and those animals animals that were alike, they would pull forward, and they would haul the plow or haul the wagon, and you'd put that yoke upon them, and those animals would work. They would work. They would drag that plow through those fields. Or maybe you put a yoke over maybe a couple of horses, and they would pull that wagon, or whatever the scenario was. You'd put that yoke, you'd yoke those two beasts up together, and they would pull forward, and they would labor under that yoke. And the Lord has a yoke, and He has a burden, but you need to understand, of course, the spirit behind the text here is that the Lord's yoke and the Lord's burden is easier than the yoke and burden of sin. Much easier. And it is certainly more in line with the text. Probably the yoke and burden of the Lord is much easier and much lighter than the burden of religion. Many people who don't know God personally and have never trusted in His Son, many people want to be religious, try to be religious, and they are burdened under the yoke of religion, trying hard to be their best and do their best and to try to gain heaven and try to gain the approval of God. And they are burdened under that type of a religious yoke. So it doesn't matter whether it's a sin yoke or a religious yoke. Christ's yoke and burden is easy and it's light. But I want you to see here that there is a yoke and there is a burden for the believer. The Christian life is an active life. It's not a passive life. Never was meant to be a passive life. And I'm afraid that too many people who call themselves Christian, who claim to be a Christian, I really believe that they are going through this life, this Christian life, and they are completely passive. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I suppose that we could go, there are many verses I did not bring to the pulpit this morning. We could go on and on, looking at different verses like this concerning labor and work for the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your what? Work of faith and your what? Labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." And so Paul thanks God for the church at Thessalonica that they have a work of faith and a labor of love. The Christian life was never meant to be passive. As a matter of fact, as I thought about it, I said, really, and as I put this sermon together and begin to think about the things in the Christian life that are laborious, that are work, that are toil, it dawned on me that the Christian life is labor intensive. It's labor intensive. Okay? We say, if it's so labor intensive, how on earth can it be light and easy? And that is, of course, because we have God with us. We have the Holy Spirit with us, helping us, leading us, guiding us, giving us strength, and comforting us. And remember, we have the Holy Spirit is the other comforter. We have Christ in heaven at the right hand of God the Father, who is praying for us and interceding for us. And so we have a comforter in heaven. We have a comforter within our hearts. And the one in our hearts leads and guides and strengthens and comforts and does all of that. So there is a yoke to Christianity. There is a burden to Christianity. There is a labor to Christianity. There is a work to Christianity. It is labor intensive, but it is still easier than the yoke of sin, and it is still easier than the yoke of religion. Okay? The Christian life it's not a Sunday school picnic, as someone has rightly said years ago. It is not a Sunday school picnic. It is rather a battle. It is a battlefield. That is the Christian life. And I want you to leave here understanding that everything about the Christian life is labor intensive. It's an active life. Okay? It's a working life. Think for a moment. Think for a moment the very thought of fasting and prayers. Prayer is a very laborsome, burdensome work in Christianity. Now, maybe you're different, okay? Maybe you're different. And if you are, thank God for it. But most people find prayer to be very laborsome. A difficult work. You know, Jesus came to his disciples there in the Garden of Eden, and he had asked them to watch with him and to pray with him and to pray for him. And he came and checked on them several times, and they were sleeping. And he says, "Could you not watch and pray 1 hour?" Now, we won't even get into the fact that can Christians pray an hour? I know we can. I know we can. I know there's plenty to keep us busy on our knees for an hour. But it's laborsome. You've got Satan comes and brings fatigue. And I don't want to, you know, I feel like I want to give excuse to the disciples in the garden. They were stressed. They were tired. I'll grant them all that. But Satan comes to us and he makes us tired. You know, it's in Zechariah, I believe, The Bible talks about a high priest named Joshua who was at the altar trying to do his duty to the Lord. And Zechariah says that Satan came and resisted and hindered him. And as we pray, the hindrance of Satan is very real. Our mind wanders. Okay? Not only does our mind wander in prayer, we get sleepy in prayer, but also interruptions in prayer. How many times have you been interrupted in prayer? I'm saying that prayer is not an easy work. It is a hard work. It is a difficult work. And then if you want to toss fasting on top of that, which the Bible is very pro-fasting, and in fact Jesus says there are some things that can only be accomplished through prayer and fasting. And fasting is a difficult work. It's a difficult task. It's not easy. Okay, if fasting were easy, everyone would be doing it. If prayer were easy, everyone would be praying an hour. They're difficult works for different reasons. But they are a work. They are a work. There is something that God expects us to do in our Christian lives. I think about our time in the Word, our time reading the Scriptures, and Brian mentioned it either this week or last week in Thursday in the Word, and he said that so you're reading your Bible, wonderful, and as a pastor, I'm thankful for every person here that reads their Bible on a regular basis. Okay? Very thankful. I am blessed when I hear and know that the people under my charge are reading their Bibles. But that's really the easier of what we're to do. The Bible says that we are to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. A what? Workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. So studying is a lot different. Reading is one thing. Studying is getting a pad out and a pencil out and maybe finding the concordance or some type of reference and reading something and going elsewhere in the Scripture and reading something else about that very topic and trying to understand that which is difficult. That's study. And that is difficult. And that is time consuming. And that, brothers and sisters, is work. It's such, listen, the two things I've mentioned, prayer and Scripture, is such work that in the early church, they chose out deacons because the church had gotten so big and the widows were being neglected. And they said, the Lord said, it's not right that the bishops or the pastors should leave the study and prayer, the study of the Word and prayer, to feed widows. You have other men in the church that can handle those things. These men need to give themselves continually to study and to prayer. It is work. The Bible says that we're supposed to, I've said this over and over and over again, but the Bible says that we're supposed to be like the Berean Christians. And we know very little about the Berean Christians except for they did what? They heard the sermon, they went home, they opened their Bibles, and they searched the Scriptures to see whether those things were so. They fact-checked their pastors. That takes work. That takes time. That takes effort. I'm talking this morning about, on this Labor Day weekend, on spiritual labor. Spiritual labor. Spiritual work. We've got way too many distractions in this life. Way too many distractions in this life. I'll admit it, in my own life, the distractions. We're to meditate on the Scriptures. Meditate. Okay? Do we do that work? We're to hide God's Word in our hearts, which would make me think memorize. Meditate, memorize. Read, study, search. Now, I thought about this as I was going down through the Christian life in my mind, and I was thinking about the different things that believers are expected to do and to be, and how that all of them are really labor intensive to some degree or another. And I came to this thought, and I thought, you know what, this should not even be in the list. Coming to church should be such a pleasure. It should be such a relief to get out of the world and out of the secular world and away from work and away from all the evil influence that oppresses us. And it should be relief to come to the house of God. It should be a pleasure. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And yet, how often is it so difficult? How often have people had a long, rough week and they've worked 6 days and they don't want to get out of bed on Sunday? You know? How often have you just been down in the dumps and you're just like, I don't want to do anything, but just I want to stay here in my chair and drink my coffee and I don't want to go anywhere. How often is the house on Sunday morning chaotic? Children running everywhere. If not now, it was in the years past. And you know, mama is at her wit's end as she's trying to get everybody dressed and get breakfast. And dad is stressed out because of all the chaos. And on the way into church, yeah, you notice what I said. Dad is stressed out not because of all the work, but because of all the chaos. Okay, and my wife caught that. Okay, no one else caught that. And then on the way to church, there's bickering and arguing. Our husband and wife fight, and you come in here mad. Now, there have been plenty of times in 30 years that I have not wanted to go to church. But I can say this, 99.999% of the time, when I leave, I'm glad I came. But I say it shouldn't be that way. It should be like, oh. And yet, in today's world, it's a labor to get up and to drive 40 minutes, 45 minutes, 55 minutes, an hour. It's a labor. Another work is witnessing, telling others about Christ. It's a labor. It's a work. It's many times a difficult labor and a difficult work. Jesus lifted up his hands and he pointed to the fields. He said, don't say there's 3 months to harvest or 6 months to harvest. He said, the fields are white on the harvest now. He said, go into my fields and work. He said, pray for what? Pray for laborers. One of the things that we need to do, listen again, the Christian life is not passive. We don't just pray a prayer and then skate by the whole time. The Christian life is an active life. It's a laborsome life. It's a life of spiritual work. And if yours is not, then there's a problem. That's what I'm trying to say. If yours is not, if your Christian life is not labor intensive, there's a problem. If you don't labor in the Word and labor in prayer and labor to tell others about Christ, there's an issue. The labors are few, Christ said. Pray for laborers to go into the harvest. But it's not easy. It's not easy. We're, for the most part, timid people. That doesn't make any sense because we're not timid when it comes to talking about our favorite ball team, right? We're not timid about that. We're not timid about, you know, sports or hunting or talking about the weather with a stranger. But when it comes to sharing the gospel and being a witness, we're timid and we get rejected and we get made fun of by friends and family. And co-workers give us the weird eye, you know. And people talk about us behind our back. And it's not easy to be a witness. Many over the last 2,000 years have suffered greatly for being a witness, for testifying of Christ. They've suffered greatly. It's a hard work. Brother and sister, it is a hard work. It's a difficult work. It's a work that you need to be prepared for. It's a work that you need to be prayed up for. It shouldn't be. But it is. It is. Resisting temptation. Resisting temptation. And mortification of our flesh is a work. We cannot go passively by. We cannot passively float by temptation, you know. Just, no. We must resist it. I got to tell you this story. It happened yesterday. I have to tell you. It was the weirdest, funniest thing that I have seen in a long time. We've got chickens, okay? And Jacob raised them for, Jacob and Millie raised them for us. And when they became, I guess, teenage chickens or whatever, they came to our place. We had four of them. Put them in there. I put them in their condominium. Their place is nicer than mine. And our dog, which is part Rottweiler and part Lab, spent weeks and weeks and weeks just lunging at that fence trying to get at those chickens. And so over the last month and a month and a half, I've been doing my best to try to acclimate dogs and chickens. Of course, the chickens don't care about the dog one bit. But the dog has a heart. I mean, who doesn't love a chicken dinner, huh? Amen? Raise your hand. Who doesn't love a chicken dinner? And so I would go out with the dog, and the chickens would be loose in the yard, and as the dog would start to lunge, I'd grab her collar and speak to her. And I've been doing this for weeks, and then finally I bought a training collar, put a training collar on her, and the lowest is a beep, and then there's a vibration, and then there's a shock. Well, it turns out all this dog needs is the beep, okay? So she's that timid. So a couple of times she started to go toward the chicken, and I give her a beep, and she runs in the house. So yesterday, I spent all day outside yesterday, and she was out laying in the grass, and the chickens were running around somewhere else, and they came up close to her, and they're not afraid of the dog. A couple of the chickens walked right up to the dog, right up to the dog. And this is what she did. She went... And then she went. Okay. It was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious. And then she went. She wouldn't look at her. She'd look. She'd turn here. And finally she went. And she turned and laid looking the other way. That dog was fighting temptation so hard. That dog was fighting temptation so hard. She did well. But I've never seen a dog fight temptation like that. You know what she wanted. And she wouldn't even look at it. Amen, that sounds like some warnings of Scripture. Amen? It sounds like some warnings of Scripture. Don't even look, you know. She wouldn't even look at those chickens. But it's a work. You do not get victory over temptation by being passive. You get victory over temptation by actively working to be victorious over that temptation. And mortification of the sin that's already in your flesh, killing that daily, that is a work, brother and sister. That is a work. You do not mortify the deeds of the flesh by accident. You do not mortify the deeds of the flesh by being passive. It is a work. It is a labor to resist the temptation and to mortify the sinful deeds that are in your flesh. You have to work at it. And if you're not actively trying to resist temptation or actively trying to mortify the deeds of your flesh, you're doing the Christian life wrong. In the same vein, there's There's denying yourself. Jesus tells us to deny ourselves and to take up the cross and to follow Him. Denying oneself is difficult. Anyone who has tried to diet knows this. To deny ourselves, we are self-centered people. We are selfish people. We love to pamper our flesh. And sometimes we're called to deny the flesh. Sometimes we're called to deny ourselves. Sometimes we're called to deny ourselves for the weaker, younger Christian brother. I mean, imagine, we're taught, and some of us can't even fathom this. We're taught that if eating meat were to offend the weaker brother, that we shouldn't eat the meat. I'm eating meat. That's our attitude. We're not used to denying ourselves because it is a work. It is labor intensive. I want to close with a few thoughts. I'm going to skip a few things here and close with a few thoughts. There are hindrances. And that is that any labor-intensive thing in the Christian life, and I believe almost all of it is labor-intensive, is going to be hindered or resisted by our enemy. I thought about Nehemiah, and that's what the you're probably wondering what the graphic is. That's Nehemiah, and when he was freed from Babylon, he came back and he found. Well, that's why he was freed. He got permission to come back, and he found that Jerusalem was in a bad state, and the walls were torn down, and Nehemiah came back and he began to rebuild the walls with a group of men. And was it Sanballat and Tobiah, some other men, hindered him and resisted him and enticed him and threatened him. They did everything they could to get Nehemiah and his men off that wall to quit rebuilding that wall. And Nehemiah said, they tried to get him, come down and talk to us. Nehemiah said, I can't come down and talk to you. I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. But those men did everything from entice to threaten to, everything they could to get them off the wall. It got so bad that Nehemiah and his men, they had to build the wall with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand. To get that wall done. And they got it done in tremendous time. Trump could use probably their help. I'm sorry. I don't know why I said that. I should have said that. I couldn't help myself. But everything we do for the Lord, and anything we do for the Lord, any work, any labor-intensive work that we do in the Christian life is going to be resisted. It's going to be resisted. We're going to be enticed, tempted, harassed to not do our work. Now, in closing, there's another hindrance, not only the enemy, but it's difficult to continue. Now, listen, it is very, very difficult to continue to do the works of the Lord when, for the most part, you do not see any results. Because a lot of the work that we don't see results. Now, it's not always because there are not results. But many times it's just that we cannot see the results. You and I cannot imagine the number of prayers or the things that have been done as a result of our prayers that we have no clue about. The number of witness, the times we have witnessed and we've walked away with no results and we have no clue the results that that witness has done. But so many times the results of fasting and prayer, witnessing, resisting and mortifying, denying, so many times the results are not seen. But 1 Corinthians 15:58, I leave you with this. And I want you to remember this. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Now you know what the Bible does say. The Bible says that the Lord's word will not return void. But His word, whenever we present His word, it will accomplish all that He wants it to accomplish. So any preacher that is faithful to the word does not have to worry about results. If he's faithful to the word, that preacher knows, or that witness knows, that God will do with that as He will. But 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the what? Work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your what? Labor is not in vain in the Lord. None of it, brother and sister, all that you do for the Lord, all the labor, all the work, all the laboring in prayer, all the fasting, all the study of the Scriptures, the searching of the Scriptures, the memorizing of the Scriptures, all of the resisting temptations, the mortification of the flesh, the denying of self, the witnessing to family and friends, all of it, none of it is in vain if you've done it in the Lord. None of it is in vain if you've done it in the Lord. I'll close with a personal illustration. About 6 weeks ago or 7 weeks ago, I changed most of my eating habits. And in the first 3 or 4 weeks, I dropped a good amount of weight. People can always tell when you've stopped dropping weight because you stopped talking about it. And so I reached the place, and I've been there now for 6 weeks, that same place. And my wife said something to me this morning, and I said, I'm done. And she thought that meant I'm going back to, peach and chips and fries and candy and all that. She had a panic. And when I said I was done, I meant that I haven't. It's been 6 weeks now, and nothing has happened. And in other words, I'm evidently done losing weight. I'm at my prime, my optimum. I'm where God wants me to be. The fat is of the Lord's, amen. So she got scared and thought that I was going to go back to eating bad, And no, I said I'm stopped. And she went into her spiel trying to encourage me about how you've lost inches, and you're feeling better. And she's given all the things that cannot be seen necessarily. Brother and sister, in your work for the Lord, as you labor for the Lord, don't get discouraged. There's an unseen work being done. Just keep serving the Lord. And your labor will not, the extent of your labor will not be known until eternity. Can you keep working for the Lord without visible results all over the place? That's the kind of people we are, results-oriented people. We want to see change. We want to see results. But sometimes in the work of the Lord, much of what happens is unseen. So don't let the enemies of the cross, the enemies of Christ, don't let them pull you off the labor for the Lord. And don't get discouraged because you're not seeing the results that you want to see. So these are my thoughts to you and my message to you on this Labor Day. I hope that you can enjoy some time away from your physical labors. But I hope that you will constantly be cognizant of your spiritual labors. And if your Christian life is not an active one of work and labor, then you need to check things out. Something's wrong. May God bless the teaching and preaching of His Word this morning. May God bless His little flock here at Bethaven. Let us pray.